So I stayed off that subject for some time here, and I thought tonight, since I was dealing with Isaiah 66, I'd do a little blurb on the front of it, and then if I have time to get into Isaiah 66, I think we're down around verse 12 or 13, then I'll get on into that. But to tell you why I'm doing this tonight, last weekend there were some United Kingdom newspapers, England and Scotland, that put out some articles that stated that, or inferred, that Israel was about to attack the Iranian nuclear site. And it got people all stirred up. And we've got a very extensive communications network that goes all over the world. And so I started getting all kind of questions and queries and phone calls from people wanting to know if I thought Israel was going to attack the nuclear sites in Iran. Well, to answer that question, it's a very complicated question, and a lot of different circumstances are involved, which determines which way it's going to go. But I have studied the Israeli nuclear capacity for years, was directly involved in it when I was in the intelligence services. And so finally, to stop the phone calls and all the queries that kept coming in, which kept me tied up all week, it's been a real busy week and we had funerals in between, I finally just made up a little blog that I set out as the tail end of a series of six blogs on it. So people would quit calling me, and people would quit sending me emails, because it was really causing me to get so far behind on the other stuff I normally do that I thought, man, I've got to do something. So this is basically what I worked up. And these things that I'm going to show you are based on a whole lot of scriptures. I've covered them so many times that I'm not going to show you those scriptures again. I'll mention them, but you know where they are. This is a part of it. This was a very long blog, but this is the first part of it. It was the sixth blog in the series, and it was sent out starting on Monday and Tuesday, and I sent this one out at noon today. And there was a lot more to it than this. There was a rather lengthy article from a United Kingdom newspaper where they were making all sorts of claims and different things. So just to give you a little background on it before I start, that's what I've done. If Israel decides to blast the Iranian nuclear complex, what will be the fallout from the act? Number six in this series deals with some of the ramifications of that question. What the answers I'm going to give are based on what I know from Scripture, my experience at the time I was in service, where I watched Israel build her nuclear facilities, what I knew about the Iranian complexes and the various things that I've learned since Iran first started trying to develop nuclear weapons in 1992. But they're no more than educated guesses, but they are based on what I do know and on what the Scripture says up to a point. Now, since the articles appeared in the United Kingdom newspapers a few days ago saying it looked like Israel was about to launch an attack against the Iranian nuclear facilities, queries and phone calls caused me to issue this six-set series to provide as much information as possible on the subject so that you could look at the information and make your own guess. Your guess may be as good as mine. And I'll show you. I'm not going to show you all six of them, but anybody that got all six of them could look at them on the Internet, and they could make up their own mind as to whether they thought Israel would launch against the Iranian complex or they wouldn't. Now, this Iranian complex has about 12 different sites. When they first started out, they had one site. That was back in 2001 when we put out our first email, when we put out our first update on the site, the Internet site that we have. And I told people that if Israel did not attack that nuclear facility, they were making a serious mistake, and I thought that they would, because it was on the surface, and they could have nipped it in the bud. However, I knew they wouldn't, because the United States was getting involved in to go into Operation Desert Storm. And I knew from different things I had gleaned from with the one contact I had left in the agency, I knew that the United States told Israel, don't do it. They put their thumb down on them, because they said, if you do that, we cannot get the other coalition nations to join with us. In other words, Israel, if you attack that nuclear facility, then we won't be able to get Syria and these other countries to join in a coalition to go against Iraq and go in and take it and blow it up like the first George Bush did. So Israel held off. Well, when she held off, Iran started going underground. And she began to spread out her facilities all over the country to make them separate entities, but all working toward one common cause. And she began to not only scatter them across the surface, but she began to go underground. Well, by the time that the second George Bush came along, and he decided to go into Iraq on what was known as Operation Iraqi Freedom, Israel was all set to go, and they had even gotten a fleet of 25 125s from us and all sorts of sophisticated aircraft, and they were ready to go. Iran still had some of them on the surface, and they were up to about eight at that time, eight sites. And then all of a sudden the United States said, no, don't attack them, because if you attack them, we can't get the Great Britain, we can't get Australia, we can't get these other countries to join our coalition. So the United States put their thumb down again on Israel. Well, lo and behold, we went in on Operation Iraqi Freedom. Now, when that happened, Israel's still sitting over there, anxious to go after them. Well, as we've gone through Operation Iraqi Freedom, we've kept the thumb on Israel, and we haven't gone after them ourselves. So here's what's happened. You've got 12 different nuclear sites right now. Most of them are underground, deep. The only way they can get them and be sure of getting them is to use what they call tactical nuclear weapons. And Israel is thinking about using tactical nuclear weapons. Okay. Has Israel drawn up contingency plans to attack the site? Oh, my goodness. They've had the things ever since 1992. Do they keep revising them? Do they have up-to-the-minute contingency plans where they could launch an attack at any minute? Yes, they do. Do they practice it? Have they committed exercises and practiced? Yes, they have. Are they going to launch an attack? Well, I'll tell you right now, it's very complicated. It's so complicated, I'll answer the questions and I'll answer them, but I'll tell you, it's my opinion. These sites should have been knocked out a long time ago, but circumstances did not allow it. And now, quite frankly, it's not as easy as it would have been in the beginning. So let's take a look at the information. Since this is the last article in the series, I'm going to give you some answers to questions on the subject as they relate to the Middle East situation. May I remind you that opinions are like noses, in that most people have one. So here's the first question and my answer. Do I think nuclear missiles? Now notice the word nuclear. Now this is based on what I know about the Israeli original contingency plan that was drawn up when they became a nation, and their way that they have decided they would use nuclear weapons and under what circumstances. So there are a lot of things in here that my answers are based on what I know for a fact. Others are based on the circumstantial situations that have evolved and are going on right now. Do I think that nuclear missiles would be launched against Israel by any of the nations possessing them if she were to attempt to knock out the Iranian missile complex? Absolutely not. No. The nations that possess them are China, Russia, Israel, India, the United Kingdom, Europe, and Australia, and the United States. Some say Australia doesn't have them. They do. Would any of those nations, if Israel used tactical nuclear weapons to knock out the Iranian facilities, would any of those nations launch their missiles against Israel? No. Absolutely not. Period. I'm a product of the Cold War, and I struggled through the years at the agency, and everybody in the agency knew that nobody was going to launch nuclear weapons against anybody. We knew Russia wasn't going to launch against us. Russia knew that we weren't going to launch against them. We all knew it. But why weren't they going to? It was because it would have destroyed every human being on this earth. And we knew it. And so, no, they would not have launched. Period. Now, you can say, well, you might have had a madman at the switch. There weren't any madmen at the switches, and they would never have launched those missiles. It would have wiped out all of civilization. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, why did the United States keep saying we were under danger of attack? Because we had to milk money out of the American public in order to be able to buy the nuclear materials and produce the weapons that we had. It was the only way that we could ever keep up with the Soviets. And so we put out memo after memo that gave the American public the impression that the Soviets were going to attack us at any minute. And they weren't. And we weren't going to attack them. We knew it was a standoff. But why weren't they going to attack us? Because we kept milking money out of the American public to buy the weapons. That's why. So there was nothing wrong with what we did. If we hadn't done it, you might have had a nuclear war. Now, the Soviet Union and China will not launch missiles against Israel if they knock out the facilities in Iran. Period. As a matter of fact, there are nations that would be delighted to see it happen. I personally think the Chinese wouldn't care one way or the other. And the only thing the Russians would be upset about would be the fact that they were losing their source of income that has allowed them to have a decent economy since they became what they call a democracy. Now, I'm giving you these answers. I believe them. But like to say, they're opinions. Now, let's take a look at it. Do I think chemical and biological missiles would be launched against Israel by the Islamic nations if she were to use nuclear tactical weapons to knock out Iranian nuclear facilities? Yes, I do. Now, Iran doesn't have a deliverable nuclear weapon. Neither does Syria. If Israel used tactical nuclear weapons. Now, let me define tactical nuclear weapons. It means they have a limited yield, that the radiation from them is not all that bad, and that they are what you would call small atomic bombs. And they would not kill mass numbers of people. They would kill quite a few, but the impact would be sufficient to go down and destroy those sites that were underground. I don't think Israel is going to use nuclear tactical weapons. I think they will use conventional weapons. But if I'm wrong, and they were to use them, then Syria and Iran would use chemical and biological weapons, which they do have, and they would launch against Israel, and Israel knows this. Now, you can look at this and you can say, well, Brother Michael Murray, all that's just your opinion. It's a lot more than opinion. I know what they've got. I was in the intelligence service and listened into many conversations during that period of time that involved the war tactics and the contingency plans of these nations. And I guarantee you that they would launch chemical and biological warheads if Israel did. Now, let's define that a little bit. Do I think chemical weapons, do I think conventional weapons, do I think conventional weapons would be launched against Israel by the Islamic nations if she used conventional weapons against the Iranian nuclear complex. Yes. Conventional weapons used by Israel would result in a conventional weapons response by Syria and Iran. But if Israel were to launch nuclear tactical weapons, then the other two would launch chemical weapons. This will give you some insight into some of the opinions, at least I have, about what would happen under different circumstances, because the news media has picked this stuff up and they're running wild with it. Does Israel have all sorts of contingency plans for an attack to knock out the Iranian nuclear facilities? Yes. Absolutely. Positively. And that's what the UK newspapers picked up. They picked up the fact that Israel had all sorts of contingency plans for an attack to knock out the Iranian nuclear facilities. They've had those ever since the 1980s, when the first hint of Iran developing one came into existence. And by 1992, they knew it was going. So, yes. But now all these stories you keep hearing on television, in the media, and they keep telling you, Israel is going to attack Iran and knock out her Iranian nuclear facilities. They use this, and they say they have all sorts of contingency plans. They've had those since 1992, and that's no indication that they're going to use them. And this is another thing that you will discover the UK newspapers picked up, and I'm merely pointing this out to you because you're going to hear it on the media, and I want you to at least know what their estimates of attack are based on. Has the Israeli Air Force been practicing for an attack against the Iranian nuclear facilities? Yes. They've been practicing for an attack against the Iranian nuclear facilities ever since about 1995. They've practiced going around and flying up through the Persian Gulf. They've practiced flying all the way around back through and coming in from the south, southeast into the country. They've practiced everything you can possibly imagine. But just because they practiced it doesn't mean the attack is going to be conducted. So these UK newspapers found out about the practice, and they found out about the contingency plans. And Israel would be insane not to have these plans or not to practice. And they have taken that to mean there's going to be an attack. Will Israel actually attack the Iranian nuclear facilities before a jihad is launched against her? Now, you know that I believe a jihad, an attack from the north, is going to be launched against Israel at some point in time between 2008 and 2012. I firmly believe that. Could I be wrong? Certainly. But I firmly believe that. Now, will Israel actually attack the nuclear facilities before a jihad is launched against her? There are so many variables involved in trying to answer this question, and so many circumstances that could cause it to go either way, that I confess my answer is no better than a wild guess. Or what? We referred to as a wag in the agency, a wild Armenian guess. I would say probably not. I don't think Israel's going to do it. I think there's going to be an awful lot of saber rattling, but I don't think Israel is going to attack those facilities. Now, notice I said with a tongue-in-cheek and a great big giant maybe, probably not. There's an awful lot involved in this. And if Israel were to launch this attack, there's so many ramifications for this that it would take me the rest of the night to tell you, and I do want to get in some of that Isaiah 66. So I'm just going to tell you this. Will Israel launch an attack against Iran before this jihad attack? Probably not. I really don't think they will. But to say, for me to say, no, they won't, or yes, they will, I just can't do it. I'll just say, probably not. They probably won't launch an attack. But if I'm wrong, if Israel does carry out a preemptive strike against the Iranian nuclear facilities, will it unite 10 Arab nations in a jihad against Israel? absolutely a positive, no doubt, absolute yes. If Israel launches, here comes the war where Israel is attacked, driven into the Negev, and 3.5 years later, the Battle of Armageddon occurs. If Israel launches this, I don't think they will. But if they do, Katie bar the door. And if they do, they could launch it this year. And believe me, if they launch it this year, it's going to start a jihad over there. Now, it's going to be 10 Arab nations against Israel. I do not think this is going to occur until sometime between 2008 and 2012. And I gave the reasons and all these other things that I put out over the last 3 days. I do not believe that Iran will have a deliverable thermonuclear warhead for one of their Shihab missiles until 2010. And I do not believe that they will actually have any type of attack launched against them before that time. So I'm saying between 2008, 2012, it's going to happen. And I'm not covering my bets. But if Israel should happen to do what I don't think they will do and attack those facilities this year, this thing could start this year just at any time when they launch the attack. Here we go. Will the Soviet Union and China get involved at the beginning? Absolutely not. Do I believe it is quite likely that jihad will be launched against Israel at some point in time between 2008 and 2012, regardless of whether or not preemptive strike is made against the Iranian nuclear facilities? Yes, I do. Now, if you don't want to accept that, that's fine. But you had better get ready, because this thing is boiling over. And it's not going to be able to hold off much longer. And every single thing that the Bible said had to be in place before all this would occur is finally in place, and it never has been before. Will the United States, Europe, Russia, and China immediately join in the war between Israel and the 10 Arab nations? No. No, no, no. When this war breaks out, the United States, regardless of when it happens, the United States won't get involved in it. Neither will Europe, Russia, or China. We will stand back, and Israel will have to fight it alone. The United States will not get involved because it would involve war with China and Russia. They will not get involved because it would involve war with us and Great Britain. And so all the power countries will block one another. The war will be fought between Israel and the 10 Arab nations. Israel will be driven to the Negev wilderness. And we are not going to get involved until the very last part, what is known as the Battle of Armageddon, which will occur 3.5 years after Israel is initially attacked. Will all the nations of the old world, pre-Columbus, unite with the 10 Arab nations some 3.5 years after Islam initially attacks Israel at what is known as the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon? So for those of you who, like myself, are naturally more concerned about what's going to happen to the rest to us than the rest of the world, and I don't say that in a selfish vein, because that's a very natural human tendency. And I am more concerned about what's going to happen in this country than I am in what's going to happen over there. Now, you might say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you ought to be more concerned about what's going to happen over there. Well, let me tell you that there's a difference between you and myself. If you are more concerned about what's going on over there, then you are lying to yourself. At least I'm not lying to myself. I'm concerned about what's going to happen here to me and my family, and to you, and to your families, and to the people in this country. I think that most of the natural destruction and terror and horror is going to occur in the old world. Some of you have never been to Europe. Some of you have never traveled in Asia. Some of you have never been to the places I've been and seen the things I've seen. You don't know civilization as I know it. Yes, our country is immoral. Yes, our country is ungodly. Yes, our jails are full of dope addicts and perverts. Yes, we are certainly not a shining example. But compared to what I have seen in Asia and Africa and Europe and Lithuania and Latvia and Estonia, we look like little Lord Fauntleroy. And we are goody-two-shoes compared to the immoral conduct of that group of society that encompasses and lives in that area. That is where most of your destruction, that is where most of your horror and most of your terror is going to occur. Are we going to have a rough time with earthquakes? Yes. Are we going to have to tighten our belts? Are we going to have hunger? Yes. Is it possible we may have some anarchy and people breaking in stores to get food? Yes. But we are not going to have happen here what is going to happen in what's known as the old world. Russia, the Soviet Union, and Europe are going to come down against Israel. And we are not going to be of much help to Israel, because we're going to have more problems here in our own domain than we can possibly handle. And it will be a time of great confusion. All the nations there will feel that this is going to end, that the horror cannot continue. And so over there, they will be struggling such that by the time all the horror has ended, as they think it will, that they will come out on top and they will control most of what is known as the old world. But unfortunately for them, the horror is going to end at Armageddon, and Jesus is going to come back, and only about 1/6 of the Antichrist army is going to survive. I'm very thankful that I was born in this country. I'm very thankful to God I was saved. And I'm very thankful to God that He led me by His Spirit in the Bible. And I think that God's going to be a lot more merciful to this country than He is to a lot of the others. So that's what, oh my goodness gracious, it's 5 till. Well, I've got this Isaiah 66. And it's Michael's turn next. So when after Michael finishes, I'll go back on Isaiah 66. And I've got that all finished. But I hope that each one of you, that I'm speaking to each one of you personally, takes the time to thank God for what He has done for you and for what He's done for this country, in spite of the way we've turned and in spite of the way that we've become as a nation something that's an abomination. I hope each one of us will take the time to thank Him for the mercy He's shown to us. You know, we're very special because we are God's children. And we're very special because we repented of our sins and we put our faith in Him. And we're very special because He let us have children. He let us have a family. He let us get married to decent people. And in spite of tragedies in our lives and problems and difficulties, He has brought us through it and kept us alive and loved us in a way that none of us deserve. I think once in a while we need to just take the time to thank Him for that and be grateful for what we have, because I don't think I appreciated what I had until God shifted me all over the planet and I got to see what other people have in other countries, and I realized what God had done for me. We need to thank God for what He's done for us, and we need to do it continually. Heavenly Father, the marvelous promises that You've given us in it, I thank You for watching over this group like a little flock here in Dardanelle. I thank You, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins, and for, Lord, putting us back on the paths of righteousness when we fall off, for helping us, Lord, to see our own faults and flaws, and to seek Your counsel and Your love in all of them, Lord, and to keep on coming back to You to strengthen us and help us and lead us I pray, Heavenly Father, for all those who are members of this church who haven't been in a long time and could have come. Lord, I pray that they'll respond to your Spirit and that, Lord, they'll come back and that they'll be a part of this body and that they'll learn the joys, Lord, that you have waiting for them in heaven, and it will give them encouragement and strength to serve you and to love you. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be your church here. Thankful for, Lord, we're thankful for the building, the parsonage, the pavilion, the property. You're just so good to us, Lord. And I just thank you for those things, Lord. And naturally, Lord, I pray for your continued blessings. Heavenly Father, help us in these last days to stand true and faithful to you. Lord, plant a seed in our hearts of gratefulness to you for all the good things you have done, are doing, and shall do for us. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.